Lizzie and Whipper.
Welcome to the podcast. Very exciting today. I'm going to run you through something that's very important to me, and that's the art of flirting. Now, I don't know if you know my track record around the office here of Nova, but over the years, I've been pretty busy, guys. Whoa, hang on a minute. No, well, I met my wife at work, so that's a start, you would suggest. Flirting techniques coming up on today's podcast.
Cougar.
No, my wife is not a cougar. He's suggesting...
What is the starting age of a cougar?
40 up. What do you reckon?
Yeah, right.
40
cougars,
plus?
Cougars, I got told the other day that cougars have the strongest bite of any of the big cats.
Yeah, right. Do you mean the ones floating around your place or the actual real cougar?
Yeah, there's a couple around the old workers in Bowermain.
One tried to drag you home one night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's that was right.
Remember
the front.
That? Yeah. Aren't you that guy off Big Brother?
Well, you're the guy off Big Brother. Can I come home with you?
How was she?
And I said, Gretel. No, I didn't.
Not true.
I love Gretel.
Of course. Enjoy the podcast. Coming up, stuff.
Hey, anyone here a member of the Dashcam Owners Australia Association?
No,
but it's building quickly, I would have thought, because the amount of footage that does come out where you think, how many people do have dash cams?
It's not bad.
They're everywhere.
So what does it do? So it records, because, you know, only you have a certain amount of memory.
Yep.
And then what, it just deletes old memory.
Keeps going over.
That's not bad.
Clever.
There's a beauty that's come out over the last couple of days. So P platers at red lights there. And when you're a P plater, you got to hot it up car. I'm trying to work out what he has. It's probably a Nissan Skyline. They like to drag every now and then.
If it's lowered, it's got extractors and a spoiler on the back. That is your perfect car.
Holden Commodore pulls up next to it, right? And they're looking at each other, and the P plater starts revving it out a little bit.
Right. Who's going to win this?
Okay, so they start looking at each other, and this P plater goes, it's on here. Let's have a drag, young
Skyline.
Fella. So the P plater, as soon as it goes green, bang, he takes off, man.
Yeah.
And both of them take off. And it's pretty even. So the car behind it is filming this there. Mm. That person's part of the Dashcam Owners Australia Association. So they take off so quickly that within a matter of seconds, the cars are gone over the horizon and into the distance. And then 2Ks down the road, the guy with the dashcam camera drives past, and the poor P plate has been pulled over because the person that he was dragging, they were undercover cops.
That's a shame, isn't it? You're feeling so good in your car. You've just cleaned it. And you're ready to go. Show off to the boys. You've probably got your own dash can, so you want to see the win.
Just, I don't understand why you need to do it. Where the masculinity is in just knocking someone off, just beating them at a red light.
I don't get it either. But how much fun would it be if you were an undercover cop pulling up, looking at him, firing him up to go, mate, I'll take you.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, as an undercover
just
cop.
Just let him tick over the speed limit.
It would. All right, let's go this. Come on, let's have a crack. Because I told you, I got done speeding on a push bike. So the cops don't actually have to have a gun to know how fast you're doing. But obviously, if they're in their car and they can see that they're doing 120 and you're next to them, obviously you're doing the same speed.
So you tried to drag a cop on your push bike, did you? So you were just mouthing off with them at the lights? Come on, I'll take you, mate.
I just did a couple of bunny hops. I said, let's do this, and off we went.
Wow.
Well done to the young fella. I don't care where you live, mate. There's always a couple of peanuts on your street.
Of course.
You're always going to cop them. Lower North Shore, Willoughby. Asked you before, median price in Willoughby.
$2.1 million.
Wowzers.
That's for a house, is it, mate?
Yeah.
Now, that's fancy stuff, guys. That's what we're talking about here.
The median
top shelf
house price in New South Wales is $612,000.
Yeah, right. That's $2.1 million.
No, it's not. Isn't it at a mil?
It's higher than
that.
Didn't
we get up to a mil?
Many suburbs.
Yeah, right. But see, Willoughby is a beautiful area. That doesn't stop Wayne Levitt. You've always got to get one peanut on the street. And Wayne's an older bloke.
Look, quite often it is Wayne-o.
It is. There is a Wayne.
If there's a Wayne involved, you know you've got trouble to start
with. If you know
with
a dodgy Wayne, give us a call, 13 24 10. Hope Miranda Kerr doesn't ring in for her brother. Sorry,
miss
Sarah.
A moment,
I know. It's just one of the old classics.
Oh, James Packer's brother Fudge. Is he going to call?
Oh, Sarah. Whoa,
no,
that's
Sarah,
out of
that
line.
Is gross.
That is. Mate, if you're going to bring that potty mouth in here, go and have a breather.
Whoa, you're not getting invited to Barangaroo.
You're out of line.
Gutted.
No, so Wayne Levitt, he's a bit older, Wayne. He's grumpy. He lives in Willoughby, but everyone on the street says that Wayne just mouths off and everyone is sick of him.
Yeah, okay.
Right? He throws stuff over the fence and they're over it. And unfortunately, you shouldn't resort to this, but Stuart Richmond, that also lives on the street, Wayne was giving him so much crap, Stuart, that he had got a hockey stick out and had a couple of cracks at old Wayne. I mean, this is just an example. Wayne's got a potty mouth and he just has a go at everyone.
Well, you just keep walking, mate, because I'm the victim in this thing, right?
It's not very nice language, Wayne.
Hey?
That's not very nice.
Tell me not very nice language, lady.
So he's just going Wayne. Around the street in Willoughby, and I mean, there's some beautiful BMWs and Mercedes there, and there's Wayne having a crack.
Yeah, yeah.
So Stuart's got out the old hockey stick, and he was asked, he gave him a couple, and unfortunately, Wayne had to go to hospital. He's all right now. He came back and had another crack at a few people. But then Stuart was asked, you know, why did you do it? And this was his response.
He was just carrying on like a pork chop, so I made him into a pork chop.
What?
I made him into a pork chop.
What do you mean?
With a hockey stick.
Oh, God.
He's carrying on like a pork chop, so I made him
into
a pork chop. So I tenderised him.
Poor Wayne. Do you know this? You know the greatest part about this story is that it's in Willoughby where Channel 9 is. Now, Tracy Grimshaw could get out of the seat and come straight down to Wayno's place to do an eyewitness report from there for a current
exactly.
affair. Exactly. I mean, neighbours going to war is your number one topic on
that's perfect. Dickie could come down and do an entertainment report.
Yep. I mean, they could do a fundraiser. They could knock on Wayne's door and do some sort of charity giveaway or a...
That's perfect.
Or a meat tray raffle for Wayno now that he's been turned into a pork chop.
Well, look, this is another idea. Pork. Jump on board with Stuart.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, he could be the new face of the pork chop campaign, Sarah.
I think he's still in hospital.
We've got Sam Kekovich with lamb.
Yeah.
We've got Wayno now.
And then you got Stuart. Have we got that? What's that tagline by Stuart again about?
He was just carrying on like a pork chop. So I made him into a pork chop.
See, I want to go and buy pork right now.
Done. I want to start playing hockey, which is a weird, which is a weird twist.
There's no question, that's a stupid question, like any question I know.
You know what? Dad said to me the other day, I've tried listening to the podcast, your mother gives it to me, but I don't get anything out of your show. I'm talking about the podcast.
Oh,
idiot.
Sorry. Okay.
And he said, I don't get anything out of the show. I think because of this segment, this makes it an educational program. You'll learn something on the Fitzy Wimper Show for the first time ever. Mm. How's this? This morning we're talking about this this segment. And Tommy says, yeah, but polar bears aren't white, are they? And I went, hang on a minute, mate. Where is your head at? Please explain yourself.
Well, I shocked you this morning, Whip, because it's true. Polar bears, their skin is actually black.
Wow.
And their fur isn't white as such, it just looks that way.
It's white, mate.
Their fur has no pigment and it is just a reflection of the area.
No, it's not!
So, no, Tom,
that is according to polarbearsinternational.org.
Tom, I have seen a polar bear in a zoo against a dark rock.
Yes, but
it's white.
No, it just looks that way. There is pigment in the fur.
But you know what? This is, okay, a challenge for anyone out there, the first person in the world to do it, shave a polar bear.
You reckon it would be black? It would look like a black bear if you shaved it.
100%.
This is very similar to, Fitzy, there was a story that when polar bears hunt, right, sneaking up on their prey, what they do is they put their hand up in front of their nose because the palm of their hand and their nose is the only dark thing. So then it's just white as they sneak towards the prey.
Right.
Polar bear facts.
It's not a question. Sharon from Windsor, what's your question?
Hi, guys. Oh, my God, I love this segment. I've always wanted to know, are zebras white with black stripes or black with white stripes?
I would say white with black stripes.
Well, the stripes kind of fade off down their legs, don't they? And their legs look white.
We took some photos of some zebras this time last year when you were in the jungle.
I mean,
for 48 hours.
Tommy's going to Google it, but it's good that Fitzy's just going to look at photos of zebra.
Yeah, a year ago.
I don't know. You would assume it was white with black stripes, wouldn't you? Sarah, what do you think?
Do you say zebra or zebra?
Zebra.
Mm.
No, zebra is American.
Jay Zebra.
Do you say Z?
A, B, C, D.
Tom, what have you got?
Okay, so it was previously thought that zebras were white animals with black stripes.
Yeah.
However, they've since looked into zebras at birth, and it shows that the animal's background color is black and the white are stripes.
Right. So it's black with white stripes.
It's black with white stripes.
Man, I'm confused.
Like the polar bear.
It's like when you lose your hair color, though, and your hair goes what it appears to be almost grey. It's stripped of its colour. So Tommy's right. It's not white. It's just stripped of colour.
Sharon, you satisfied, Sharon?
Nil of colour.
Yeah, I can sleep now. Thanks, guys.
Well done.
Thanks, Sharon. Go back to bed.
Jesse from Avoca Beach, what's your question, Jess?
Hey, fellas, how you going?
Yeah, good, Jess.
Awesome.
I was wondering, what's the difference between past and past?
Say that again, Jesse.
What's the difference between the words past and past?
Oh, like P-A-S-T.
And P-A-S-S-E-D.
Yeah.
Well, one is like you walked past and one is it was in the past.
But they're both
if you walk past, how would you spell that?
P-A-S-T. I walked past.
But then
something.
You would write passed away, P-A-S-S-E-D.
Different.
Yeah, but you could say that
you
I walked.
Polluted the water.
Could you say I walk past and do P-A-S-S-E-D? Is that still correct?
No, if I passed you something, like
past
I passed
tense.
You this piece of paper, that would be P-A-S-S-E-D.
But,
right,
but you would walk
okay.
past P-A-S-T, right? But then if I said to you, sir, I walked past you today, it would be P-A-S-S-E-D. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, no, that's...
No, it wouldn't.
Wouldn't it?
All right.
Hey, I walked past you earlier today.
Tom, end this confusion.
I will clean up the mess. Okay, it is quite complicated. It's all about indicating motion and things moving. But I'll just give you some examples to make it easy. So the times when you would use P-A-S-S-E-D would be like the car passed me in the left lane.
Yep.
Or the train passed through the mountainside.
Well, that's like I walked past you.
So it's a verb.
So then the other examples of P-A-S-T would be like he sailed past us or he flew past us.
That's confusing,
or
mate.
Or he ran past us.
Because that's exactly the same. It's a movement thing.
See, I told you you'd learn something today.
It's really difficult.
I'm just confused.
Oh, Jesse. Jesse, you a tradie?
Yeah, mate.
Go grab yourself a pie and a V and get back to work.
See you, mate. Don't ask us questions we can't answer in this segment. Mitch in Londonbury, hello.
Hey, how you going, guys?
What's your question, Mitch?
Before I ask my question, what's the chances of becoming a 6 o'clock club member with a keyring?
Bang! Done for you, Mitch.
Mitch, you're the first to ask for a very long time. You've got it, brother. Well done.
Thank you, guys.
Keyring coming your way.
Sweet. My question is, who named the Earth Earth?
Oh, that's
jeez.
Gary
Never
Earth.
Never know that.
Gary Earth.
Stephen Earth. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't found by anyone.
Wouldn't
I
think it
was.
God?
I think it was Edna Arth.
Oh,
I don't think. I don't think God left us with one word. Yeah.
No,
did
because
he?
He would have made some grand... Jesus would have said something about the earth,
yeah.
wouldn't he?
Well, it's funny that
why is
Ricky,
it called?
Ricky Gervais says in his stand-up, like on the sixth day or the third day, he made light. When he created everything else, he'd done everything else and he did it in the dark. Why wouldn't you have done light on the first day, mate, though you knew what you're doing?
What have
it's
you got,
a fair
Tom?
Point.
All right, well, interestingly, Earth is the only planet that wasn't named after a Greek or Roman god.
Yes.
However, we don't know who named Earth. It's just, it comes from English and German words that both mean ground.
Okay. Do they?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, Mitch, this has been some heavy, heavy questions. Have we
learned
something?
Yeah, someone had to ask it.
Yeah, well, no, you've gone hard, Mitch. You've learned something, though, haven't you, mate?
I have, mate, I have.
This is an educational program.
I think that's the first one that we've received where there's no real answer. When you talk about radio industry, television industry, anyone who gets involved, it's about longevity, and that can be hard sometimes. This man has spent 25 years at Channel 10 delivering us the news every night on 10 Eyewitness News, and you can see it again tonight at 5 p.m. It is the magnificent Timmy Murray!
Oh, thank you, boys. 25 years without a real job. No. You're trying to do the same thing. I know you are. I know you are.
You know what impresses me too, Timmy? I feel like even in the past 6 months, the flirting as you throw back to Sandra has really increased. I mean, that's heating up in a weather sense.
My word. I can tell you she's had a deep, deep, intense crush on me for 15 years. Mm. It's not easy because I'm married, you know.
Yeah, I'm professional.
Yeah, I'm absolutely professional. And look, we've only kissed, I don't know, four or five times. And I mean, the wandering hand problem has been addressed by HR. But apart from that, everything's going really well.
Just for anyone out there, you don't consider it a real job. You love your job.
I do.
What time? Tell everyone out there, what is the day? What is the Tim Bailey's day? When do you get into work?
I get into work about 4 p.m.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And then I go and talk to the boss, Johnny Cerfetti, who's a ripping mate of mine.
Yeah.
And he lets me know where I'm going wrong in life or I'm going right in life. I go on the TV at 5.
Yeah.
And I get in my car and go home at 6. It's a long day.
It's a big one. It's a really big one.
Yeah. Mm. But you have to bring some energy to it, mate.
Yeah, you do.
I tell you what, Whip, in real life, that beard is beautiful.
It's long, isn't it?
Oh, it's just beautiful.
Everyone keeps asking why the beard, and I don't have an answer. There's
Man crush. And you're the only tall bloke I've ever liked, Fitch. You know that, mate.
Yeah, jeez, we would
a
make
a difference there, you two.
We'd make a bloody good team on the footy field, I reckon.
Oh,
me
mate.
Just tapping the ball down to you.
Fitzgerald down the Bailey, Borgs, Whipper, takes a snap, bang! Why isn't this kid playing for the Swans?
Mate, we need to apologise because things have got out of hand recently. And it was the lead story on Daily Mail last night about your age.
Mm.
Now, it wasn't long ago we were discussing this.
Yeah, Daily Mail actually wrote a story. I think they made a typo. They made a mistake. And they said that you were 63 years of age. We saw the story and said, you're kidding yourself. That is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. If he's 63, he looks amazing. And the amount of sun that you've got over the years, I mean, we could turn you into a suitcase when you pass away. But we could not believe that you were 63 years of age. We got you on the show and then you started running with it and telling everyone that you were 63.
Oh, no, come on, knock it off. Oh, you gave me a call. I was over in the Cook Islands and you said, hey, they've got you in at 63.
Mm.
And knock off the tan stuff, mate. Not everyone likes looking like a big tall milk bottle like yourself. Yeah, so this thing that I'm 63 years of age, it's just not true. I was born in 1963. I turned 54 on Sunday.
Maybe that was the confusion.
54,
yeah. But
right.
But I'm still 34 between the ears.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm pretty good looking, and I'm still a very, very good love maker.
I was about to say I'd back that up, and then you said love maker, and now I can't.
All right, okay. Now, 25 years, what are you like between the years still after 25 years of weather? Because one thing that we know with you, Timmy, is that you love your rhyme, you love your poems, you've got quite a few in store.
Mm.
If we throw weather terms at you, do you reckon you'll be able to give us a bit? Like, I mean, have you stored these in the memory bank for 25 years?
Well, we're about to find out, aren't we, Fitz?
Because I'm a little bit nervous about this. I'm going to throw some big words at you. Precipitation.
Predicted precipitation, the business of the brolly.
Yeah.
Trips and drops across rooftops and crops. Give me something hard to do.
What if I throw just atmosphere out there?
The atmosphere around here would be a whole lot better with a glass of beer.
Oh,
that's not bad.
Timmy Bailey, that's not bad.
He's not lying either.
Now, we're talking about this. This is a big subject around the world at the moment. Climate.
Climate. It's like orange. Nothing rhymes with bloody climate.
Climate. Wouldn't mind it.
Right.
I don't want to steal your job, Timmy.
Yeah,
I'm just warming up.
Climate. I've come into a studio to try and find it. The climate. And I can tell you, the climate in here would be a lot better if Whipper was wearing deodorant.
Oh, that's not bad.
I thought I'd put it on, Timmy.
What about condensation? That's a tough one, Timmy.
Oh. Dripping with condensation as the heat wave rules the nation.
Oh, there's a headline. Back to you, Sandra.
We've got to get him back. We've got to get him back for wrap up of the week.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Got
to come in
last one. This is a tough one. Drizzle.
Don't you bloody grizzle. The garden needs some drizzle.
There it is. And that's why he's the best, ladies and gentlemen.
right there on the spot, live in the flesh, Jimmy Bailey.
The last couple were debatable. I mean,
mate, he does. Dear. He gets to work at four. This is far too early.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Timmy, mate, an absolute pleasure. You've always helped us out on our show as well. Actually, I've got an idea. I'm putting a wrap together, actually, with a few newsreaders. Actually, the last time I did do that, though, you got into trouble at Channel 10. So I've got to get your permission.
Maybe this next one can be a good one.
Yeah, it's called Bust the News, all right? So we'll talk to you about that a little bit more. But congratulations, 25 years, mate. I mean, that's massive in the industry. And we love your work here. And thank you very much for coming on and helping us out in our show, Timmy.
Thanks, Fitzy. I love it. You two blokes have got something special going on. Everyone knows that. And it's nice to just punch in now and again and have a bit of fun with you. Thank you very much for having me. And thanks anyone out there who's ever watched me.
Good on you, Timmy. Thank you, mate. John Hoppawattie. Hopper's in the paper again today, and you may have seen him on the news last night. Hopper's had a bit of a colourful laugh past.
A bit of a laugh as well.
No, a bit of a laugh. We know, you know, on his playing career series.
Was he the one that got in trouble for the finger in the...
Yeah, the old whoopsie daisy.
Finger went wandering a couple of times.
Save it for the footy trip.
But I didn't know this, but Hopper, he's part owners in a deli. Which is next to sort of a fruit and veg shop, like a supermarket, and Hopper gets a bit of a cut from it. But he's been having a few fights with the Super Fresh supermarket because they've been docking his pay, and he's getting his weekly taking has been dropping each time. He's been arguing with the staff, and what Hopper's done is he's gone in there the last time, demanded some money. They said, "Nah, Hopper, you're not getting it." So
didn't get his pinky out.
So he's just grabbed a coconut water and said, "All right, I'll just have this," and walked out. So they've done him for shoplifting, and he's had to go to court yesterday, right. Sir.
So this photo, is that him coming out of court?
He's coming out of court. Hopper's gone with the old hipster look.
How do you describe it?
It's gone with the old white chinos, rolled up halfway up his leg, and he's got loafers on, would you say?
Yeah, I'd say they're a smart tod, a nice loafer there.
They're yellow, loafer, though. But they're freezers and yellow loafers.
It looks like he's about to step onto a yacht.
Yeah.
A very exclusive yacht. He's got a brown jacket that's done up, which looks three times too small, so I think he's borrowed that. Very sharp tie, tied up with a double Windsor. Just a stunning, stunning outfit.
You've got to have the right body for that look, don't you?
Yeah, it's a little bit maths teacher up top and boating person.
That's true, sir.
Josiah, who works on the show, Josiah does a bit of part-time modelling as well, and he's a backup dancer too. But you like this look, don't you? The old...
the roll-up jeans with the loafers is very
in at the moment. Well, mate, it's Bondi. It's a chino with a loafer.
Winter tries to pull it off every now and then.
Well, I teach it, actually, mate.
No, you don't, mate.
It's more double bay than Bondi.
I give the fashion lesson, mate. You're right. A bit more double bay, isn't it, says?
Well, see, I've tried it, but I didn't get past the front door at home. I've tried to roll up jeans before.
Yeah, but you haven't worn loafers.
Never
have you?
Worn loafers before,
not your
no.
thing.
But naturally, your jeans are too short anyway because you're 6'6".
Yeah, ankle freezes. I've got massive ankle
freezes. Mate, I think everyone's been through a stage where they've tried a different outfit. I mean, I, for years, have tried to wear like a big sneaker. Like, Tommy, remember I bought those green sneakers, like traditional Reebok sneakers.
You bought them in LA. Green.
Like a pump or?
I've worn
like
pumps
Jordans?
As well.
A high top?
No, I've tried them as well, sir, and I've tried to be the cool guy, and I just the word cool and myself have never mixed well.
Didn't
they just don't get on.
You bought a puffer jacket once,
and a puffer
jacket,
you zip up the front, black puffer jacket with a couple of stripes around the neck, and I would wear that with my tight jeans and my green sneakers.
Who are you impersonating?
I don't know.
That's not even a look for trendy people.
It just doesn't work.
Lena's giving us a call from Reevesby. What did your boss do, Lena?
Oh, she's hilarious. She came to a work function wearing double denim and it had tassels and everything.
Oh, no. Was she serious about it or was it dress-up day?
Yeah. No, she was serious. We were killing ourselves. We were wondering where she had parked her horse.
Yeah. You know what? But you read a GQ magazine or a Vogue magazine, you know what I mean? And you see these models pulling it off. And in the back of your mind, you go, I'm half a chance here.
Here's the
problem. It's going to cost me $1,300 for that outfit, but I would look amazing. No, you won't.
No, you won't, because you're not that person. It's like when you see Matt Damon in some awkward clothes and you go, see, I could wear that because Matt Damon does, but I'm not Matt Damon.
Mm.
That's the difference with this. And I just want to say, Fitzy, I mean, you've for years said that you can't pull off a hat.
and it's only recently that you found a hat that you do like, and it's got sort of a leafy pattern on it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I know you were nervous the first day you wandered in because it looks like a kid's cap that you maybe got at the show. It looked like you got it in the show.
It just fits my head really well.
When you took it off an eight-year-old in the playground.
Yeah, he wants it back. Yeah. He's still waiting by the bottom of the slide.
But I've worn it a few times, and I'll go again.
Mate, I want you to have the confidence to go, I don't care what anyone else thinks, I'm wearing that hat. You've got it, mate.
It's just a tough one. I mean, when you go for a different type of fashion, like Hopper's done yesterday, he's going for the hipster look. That's a hipster look.
Yeah, it's hipster.
Mm. He's got the hair slicked to the side as well. It doesn't look too bad.
Yeah, anyway.
Just I can't see where his fingers are.
In his pocket, which is weird. Lights, camera, clarity. Says finally Ange has spoken out.
Yeah, that's right. She's talked about her divorce from Brad Pitt. It's been months now and she's obviously not been in hiding but hasn't really got out and about with the kids. Lately she has, though. She did an exclusive interview with the BBC and she was asked about the high-profile breakup.
I don't want to say very much about that, except to say it was a very difficult time and we are a family and we will always be a family. And we will get through this time and hopefully be a stronger family for it.
I wasn't quite sure what that meant. To me, when I first thought, is she suggesting there's hope that they'll get back together?
Well, I don't think it's about the relationship. It's about Brad still being a part of the family. He's still the father, you know?
Yeah, but the way she says it is like it's still up in the air as to whether or not he'll be allowed around. And that is kind of under question because he only gets visitation under supervision. So he's not allowed near the kids without
who's
a therapist.
Who's supervised?
George Clooney.
Give me a break.
I know. She would be so controlling.
We heard from him?
No, but he did present at, what was it? The Golden Globes, I think it was. And he got up and everyone really cheered when he was presenting an award. So you sort of feel like Hollywood's behind him.
Has anyone heard from Doug Pitt? I'm really worried
that he won't
get another Virgin Mobile contract
if Brad and Ange aren't together. I don't know, Tommy. Can you chase down Doug?
We spoke to Doug, didn't we?
Doug came in.
Yeah, he came in here.
And his other remember we spoke to his cousin Armpit.
Armpit.
Where were you, sir?
Oh, just in awe of the dad jokes.
Any Miranda Kerr?
James Packer gear. Kris Jenner has sat down with Ellen DeGeneres, and she's talking about the Keeping Up with the Kardashians. The next season is about to launch in the US and out here. And she says that because they started filming again and Kim was sort of in the vicinity of the family and dealing with the Paris drama, she says this is why you'll actually get to see and hear Kim talk about it a lot. I don't know. For me, it raises a few questions. Kim apparently goes into detail moment by moment of what happened. And Kris says that this is how it changed their lives.
It's remarkable to listen to her tell the story. And she does that because she just thinks that it might also bring some awareness and, you know, it's changed the way we live our lives and just the way we take care of our kids and my grandchildren. And so it's been a process.
Yeah, kind of moved on from that, haven't we?
Well, it's the funny thing is she says stuff like that. And obviously this was a horrible thing. I'm not discounting that. But the way they speak about it and the way they let the cameras be all over it and the way you've got Mum on Ellen telling that story. And then this was Kim Kardashian yesterday putting on Snapchat. And obviously it doesn't sound like her because she'd put a mouse filter on it or something.
Yeah, classic. Yeah. I love that.
And she's talking about how she spent her day.
I just left Dr. Orion's office and we worked on stretch marks today and I feel so excited that I finally did it. So scared to do it, thinking it hurt so badly and it didn't hurt that badly.
Okay. Yeah.
Mum's crying over what happened to her daughter and she's off getting her stretch marks worked on.
Yeah, and she got her belly button fixed because apparently that gets destroyed after babies.
I wouldn't mind getting mine fixed too.
Yeah, it's a hard one. Finally, Fitz, I reckon you're going to love this story. Lindsay Lohan. So she has jumped on Instagram to campaign to be in a remake of The Little Mermaid. So the Disney classic, and I know they've remade, you know, The Jungle Book, they're looking to do The Lion King.
Ariel.
Close. Anyway, she has started. She's campaigning desperately. She's claiming that she's already got it, saying, I will sing again. Disney are refusing to comment because, no, they haven't
given
her a role.
No, it's but just...
She's campaigning toward the director. She's said that her sister Ali can sing the theme song. She's worked out who would play the villain in it.
It's not your movie.
Yeah, it's not good.
Just give it to her, though. Like, she was not a bad actor. I mean, Parent Trap.
Herbie.
That was a great film. Yeah, well, in Mean Girls, she was very good, and she's also jumped on in the last few hours. She's hassling the Mean Girls producer for a sequel. I'm smelling a bit of desperation from Lindsay Lohan.
Had my first gum tree experience last night.
Oh, yeah.
So my old bike, I got a new bike, upgraded, and because my old bike's around about 4 or 5 years old, and it's a good, it was a good bike set. Did a lot of K's, a lot of love went into that bike. You know
what
I mean? You
fell off that a few times, didn't you?
Fell off, yeah. Remember, I came in that day and my elbow and my head was all scratched and took a couple of layers of skin off. So I had to get rid of it. It was a hybrid bike. It was a racer bike.
Yeah,
so
nice.
I got it for around about $700. And I'd had it for that long, and so BJ said, well, let's just put it up on Gumtree. Let's get rid of it. And I said, oh, I don't want to get rid of it. I like this bike.
You can't hold on to everything, mate.
And she said, well, why don't we put it up for $350? And she said, you've got to be stern on this as well. Don't go under $300, right? Let's have a little bit of room to negotiate with. So then we get a phone call from Steve from Maroubra. Steve's a Sparky, young Sparky. Good-looking guy, see?
Morning, Steve.
Hey, Steve. How you going? I told him to tune in this morning because I told him you're going to be on the radio, Steve. So Steve goes, all right. I adjusted his seat for him. I said, Steve, this is the only thing that I need to tell you. It probably needs a little bit of a tune-up because there's one gear on the bike that it doesn't lock into that gear. So what it does, it either goes up a gear or down a gear. It just doesn't lock into one gear. He goes, all right, no worries.
Drops out.
Steve, off he goes, off on the bike for a bit of a ride. I go back inside and play with the kids for a bit, for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Steve doesn't come back for quite a while.
Huh?
Where's Steve going? And then finally, Steve rocks. He rocks back, walking the bike. Mate, the chain came off about 800 metres down the road.
Bad test drive.
So then I put. I said, "I'm so sorry, Steve. I feel so embarrassed." I put the chain back on, and there's just grease all over my hands.
Yeah.
Steve goes to take off again. The chain comes off again.
Yeah.
I put it back on. I said, sorry, Steve, it's never done this for me before.
Yeah, sure.
Right. I sound like
you're
a used car salesman.
You're a shonk.
It's never broke down like this before, I swear. So Steve takes off again, another 200 metres down the road, walks back up again.
No.
The chains come off again.
I promise you, Steve, one lady owner only takes to the shops on the weekend, hardly ever ridden.
I said, Steve, I'm so sorry, mate. What do you want to do? I said, if you want to tell me to get stuffed, I totally understand. What do you want to do? And he goes, I really need a bike to get to work.
Well, that one doesn't work.
Yeah.
I said, Steve, give me $50 and get out of here. I sold my bike.
Said.
And then I had to walk back into the house, and BJ goes, how did you go? 300? I'll be happy with 300. I walk in with a pineapple. I was so embarrassed.
Good negotiator.
I said, Steve, you take it to the shop, mate, and you're going to probably have to pay a couple $100 anyway. Just give me $50. You know the worst thing about it, Sarah?
Yeah.
My first two cars ever in my life, I both sold for $50 each as well because they both weren't going. Right? The one got flogged and they tried to drive it down on the beach and they wedged it between two poles. That was my Kingswood.
Oh, yeah.
And my Datsun. That wasn't going as well. So I've sold three things in my life for $50 each. Two cars and a great hybrid road bike.
I just don't know if you should have brought that up because if you decide you want to sell anything else in your house, whatever price you put on it, people are only turning up with a fitty.
Good luck with bikes, Steve, you mongrels. Pete Evans. Love Pete. We get Paleo Pete in quite a bit. And Pete's spoken about his diet over the years. A day, remember that? A day in the life of Pete Evans and what he eats throughout the day?
Oh, the activated almonds.
He's just shared an Instagram post of his daughter Indy's breakfast before school. We're going to go through it right now. According to the caption, her breakfast is organic eggs, broccolini, lettuce, avocado, fish eggs, sauerkraut, and the eggs are topped with chimichurri. Chimichurri. What's chimichurri?
Never heard
sauce?
Of it. Never heard of it. Everything was sort of fine-ish. I mean, full-on breakfast.
Oh, there's bacon in there. Sorry, there is bacon.
Why do you need bacon and fish eggs?
Well, fish eggs.
What an awful combination.
Well, no, okay. The girl's favourite food is fish eggs. So we get a jar every week as a treat. They have a teaspoon on their breakfast a few days a week. Indulgence doesn't always have to mean that it's sweet.
Okay. Sauerkraut. What is that?
Sausage.
No, it's not.
No, it's cabbage, isn't it?
It's like,
oh, yeah, no, yeah, you're right.
It's like shredded veggies in a jar. My wife turned up at home with it the other day, and it's like this rainbow-coloured label that says power sauerkraut, organic, vegan. I can't understand any of it, but there's a touch of Pete Evans that sneaks into our house on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, Ted will get eggs and kale and... There's a lot of quinoa and all of the above, superfoods and power nutrition. And
do you feel awkward eating a baby fish in an egg?
Yeah, I don't know.
Something
have
about
you,
that
have
makes
you tried
me uncomfortable.
Caviar, though? There's no real taste to it. There's caviar. Nothing spectacular about it. It's quite gross.
So is that what he said? When he says fish eggs, does he mean caviar?
Well, that's what caviar is, isn't it?
It is fish eggs.
But see, I think those fish eggs are a bit bigger. They look like
what are those
things
orange
that you
ones?
Get at the Royal Easter Show?
No, they're
you know those little slimy things?
Oh, Tommy, yeah. They put them on canapés.
Yes, yeah, salmon
roe.
You would
smoke salmon.
Yeah,
salmon
caviar's the fanciest version of the fish eggs.
Right, yes. Okay.
Do you know
sorting
what,
that
do you know
out.
What I've done? I've put a song together of Pete Evans's Breakfast.
Thank you.
And I had to put it up against the Fitzy and Whipper listeners. A tradies breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You guys know, I've been in radio 13 years, and my favourite phone topic of all time is what tradies have for breakfast.
It's a meat pie and a can of V.
And we've had so many calls over the years, mm-hmm. and I want to thank to all the tradies who have rung this station and told us what they have for breakfast, because now I've put you in the song. So this is Pete Evans versus the tradies breakfast.
It's time for breakfast, the most important meal of the day. I'm with Pete Evans.
G'day, guys.
We've got fish eggs on display. Here comes a tradie. He's just stopped off at BP.
Hey, brother.
To kick his day off, this is what he presents to me.
A couple of cans of Red Bull and a block of crunchy chocolate.
Yum.
What? Back to Paleo Pete with his salmon and some sauerkraut. I'd love some Fruit Loops, but he looks really angry and he tells me to throw it out. Enter Devo, he's a chippy who is off his nut.
Hey, fellas.
When he tells me how every morning he rots his guts.
Sometimes smash a meat pie on a bread roll, meat pie singer.
Who are these blokes? He is disgusted as he cracks another organic egg. I activate almonds as Pete takes me down a peg. I'll get that. Who is at the door? It's Kev the Sparky.
Mate.
What the f*** is that, Kev? Oh.
Lebanese pizza and two bottles of V.
That's horrible. I grab some water, but Pete wants it alkalized. Ooh, here's more tradies who, unfortunately, they should be breathalyzed.
Every morning I get a large bag of salt and vinegar chips, and then the boys will usually chip in and get a six-pack of Tellys, yeah?
I'm speechless.
The moral of the story is you really are what you eat. So that just proves that both parties are full of sheet.
Oh, so there...
Holy sheet.
Holy so there shit. We go. Thank you to all the tradies.
Look, we're just having a laugh because we're rolling through a couple of these techniques and signs that someone is flirting. Oh, I love this so much. Because you can overthink it and overstudy it until the cows come home. But, you know, if you're single out there, grab a pen and paper and write down a couple of these tips. First off, he's giving you three looks in quick succession, they say, is tip number one. So, you know, first is the stranger look where you actually realise that there's somebody there. The next one is where they pass the line of vision, and if he looks back for the third time, then bang, you know, there's a level of interest worth chasing.
Third time, that's keno, man.
Well, isn't the idea that it's love at first sight? Do you know what I mean?
No, like, you look when back once, but three times is too
much.
Yeah,
as you're walking away, you don't look back three times.
Well, it would look creepy, so wouldn't it?
He's looking again. Is he looking again?
Is he really looking again?
Oh, and then you get home and there he is in the driveway looking again.
He's looking again.
Whoa.
Now he's outside the window.
Might go for a shower.
Up a tree.
Is he looking through the window?
Oh, that's weird.
No, but he hasn't used his third look, mate. Give him a chance. He's trying to make a point.
I just have to keep looking at you as you're walking away.
This is a weird one. He pulls his socks up. Now, the idea is that you adjust yourself, pull your socks up. It means you're trying to make sure that she realises that you care for your appearance at that moment in time.
No, it doesn't.
What the?
Pull your socks up has been educated. That's the kids have been taught their whole life.
I'll pull your socks
get
up.
Get off your bum and pull your socks up. Do something with your life.
No, but that is true. When you're told to pull your socks up, it's yep. about straightening up your appearance.
That's
so
right.
If someone does it instinctively, they're very aware of how they look mm-hmm. and trying to look their best in front
it's
of you.
It's got nothing to do with that.
No, right. it does, 100%.
Pull your socks up.
I actually took it literally. I thought they meant pull your socks up. You tighten your socks, drag them up your knee.
But they right? do.
No. No,
so
it's,
what,
it's a figure of speech,
what, you've seen
mate.
Somebody and
but
then they're
both,
bending over,
it?
Pulling up their socks.
Well, that's different. If you walk past someone in the street who's bent over, they're not looking at you.
She's all right. Hang on a tick. Let me pull up
my
socks.
Yeah, I think that girl's looking at me.
Guys, I'm in love.
Well, she can't see you now because you're under the bar, you idiot, doing up your socks.
Here's a weird one. Pointing down below. If he puts his hands on his hips and his fingers are splayed and pointing towards you know what.
Oh, that's rubbish.
He's subconsciously wanting you to look at it.
No, he's
oh
not.
My gosh. So if you
what,
stand
have you got a
there,
hanky in your back pocket as well, hanging
stand
out?
Stand there just like that with your hands. Sort of just
what if you're a girl?
Tapping yeah. on, well, I don't know.
Just pointing.
How do
you want
do that?
A bit of this?
Do you know what I mean? Girls could do that too, sir. I don't know.
They don't.
If his feet are pointing towards you.
Well, that just means he's facing you.
Means he's... What about this? He's touching his face often, especially as he looks at you.
You do that all the time.
Looking at you.
You were just grabbing your beard and pulling it at me before.
We'll start to read the signs. Look where my hands
you
are pointing. Look
it's
where my hands are pointing as I pull up my socks.
There's too much going on here.
Sarah, read this. You've
too
got
to
write all these down.
Just to worry about. There's a checklist. So if you're at a bar, I don't want to go through this checklist.
Oh, hang on a minute. We're back to the eyes again. His eyes move in a triangle. And as you get closer, the triangle becomes bigger.
Well, that means
God,
he's off his chops.
He's looking like he's dizzy. He's cheering his face off.
Something's just kicked in.
No, I didn't write this. He's looking at your mouth loads. I'm going to put that word in there.
Your
he's looking
loads.
At your mouth a lot, is what I would have written. I'm going off the sheet here, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so staring at your mouth.
Well, that's a dead giveaway for me. My gosh.
he's blinking a lot. Is this blinking come into flirting? So you just blinked at me and I went, whoa.
If you're blinking, your eyes are darting back and forth and you're touching your crutch and pulling up your
you're
socks.
You're affected by drugs.
Yeah, I'm not going near you.
He's got you pinned up against the wall.
Okay, you do that in the lift sometimes.
Whoa. It's officially called blocking, using your body to create a private space and establish a boundary around you and the person you fancy. So that's
you.
Like cornering one at the Christmas party.
That's harassment.
Just cutting one from the pack, right, as the injured wildebeest gets attacked by the crocodile.
Just as
she
the cops,
feeds
just
from the
before
dam.
The cops arrive.
And you get tasered in the back and you're on the ground. You're having a fit and your eyes are darting in triangles again. I hate it when
she's
happens.
Walking away. I still love you!
And what's this one? Number 10. He keeps squeezing his bottle of beer or can.
You can't.
How can that be flirt? Right? If you're standing there and all of a sudden the can that you're drinking from you just crush in your hand as you're staring at a woman. I don't think that's your best move. That's your top 10. Take from what you will.
That's one of your more horrible lists.
Don't do them all at once.
No.
I mean, pick one or two and go with it.
But then it's confusing for anyone reading that list to know, like, because you'll have ladies go away now and go, okay, that list that Whipper read out, is that guy looking at me? Let me go through the checklist here. You've got about 12 things on that.
Yeah, he's
which
pointing
is...
down below. I've been cornered like I do to Sarah in the lift.
Yeah, have you seen Whipper do that sometimes in the lift?
Yeah.
It is a bit odd.
Yeah,
but because I know you do it because you think it makes me uncomfortable and you think that's funny,
Sarah,
but then I just laugh.
Well,
Sarah, you know what?
Made her
laugh
too.
You do it back to him as well. You sit on his lap, you give him massages sometimes.
No, Whipper used to sit on my lap. That was the odd thing.
You guys are just about to explode.
Yes, I'm going to...
You guys are like you're in a marriage.
Yep.
But I save my tushy taps for you, Fizz.
You argue, you laugh, you sit on each other's laps, you corner each other in a lift.
It's called sexual tension.
Then you scream at each other.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Whipper bought you a diamond ring.
What are we doing with wasting our time with these other people, sir?
No, I'm pretty happy in my actual relationship.
Hey, I love you.
Talk about one.
Say it back.
Talk about one man who doesn't need to flirt anymore because he is in L-O-V-E love. Jeez, you'd be due soon, mate. Not far away to drop the knee.
No.
And man, that's a big statement to make.
Is. Give us a date.
Was
a rough.
Absolutely unacceptable to ask someone that.
Yeah. No, but it's not.
Like when you guys were dating, were your mates boys? It's about like.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, they would start by. They'd start subtly and say, have you thought about it?
Your girlfriend is amazing. I had to pull her aside one day and said, are you all right? Bronte, mentally. Like, what's going on? Are you...
Mate, you're punching. Okay? You're clearly punching.
Well, because you don't want it to be at a time that people expect it will happen, especially her. Right. And so if you guys say, when are you looking, when are you going to do it? All it does April? Is make you push it back a
will
little
it
bit.
April? No, no, no. It'll be when you're in the UK seeing Harry Potter
will
on
not
stage.
Not be in Europe. She's made that a firm no. On stage. Yeah, on stage with Harry, though, is something that I have thought about.
See, Seth, you're her Voldemort. That's what your ex did, right? he went the angle of when you're not expecting it. And you had gastro and you're in bed. And then he said,
why do we have to come back?
No, but I'm just
story.
Saying that's what you need to do, Maddie. You need to be on the toilet or
gastro.
Something so she doesn't know that it's about to happen and then all of a sudden...
So your official advice is wait till she has gastro and propose.
Why not?
No. Don't do it, Maddie.
No, you have to be somewhere where you're hardly ever, like an opening or something.
The media wall. Another media wall.
Very, very excited about this new movie, Australian movie coming out called Jasper Jones. It's in cinemas March the 2nd, and we've got two stars of this movie, Hugo Weaving and Aaron McGrath. Welcome, boys!
Hey. Thank you.
Hey. I mean, this is an amazing movie because everyone thinks that Jasper Jones is up for... He murdered this young girl, but you're the one that actually has to convince this young boy, Charlie Buckton, that you didn't do it. So that's what this movie's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It follows us in this journey of us like trying to figure out who did it, and that's when Mad Jack comes in.
Well, see, there's Hugo again. Every time we speak to Hugo, he's always playing a mad someone, or he's got the beard. He's always a little bit scary. This is another scary character that you're playing?
Well, yeah, he's actually interesting. Both Jasper Jones and Mad Jack Lionel are kind of outsiders. Everyone thinks they did. They always did it. If anything went wrong, it's because of them.
Yes.
So Mad Jack's this guy, madman who lives on the hill. Everyone thinks he's murdered this girl. Everyone thinks he's strung up some woman. And bled her to death, worked in the abattoir, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
All the stories. But actually, when you meet Mad Jack, he's just Jack Lionel.
Yeah,
you know,
right. He's just a normal guy.
He's just a guy with a story.
You just got to get rid of the beard. Like Aaron, last time we spoke to Hugo, right, Hugo tells this is an amazing story. He actually made a citizen's arrest one time. A junkie had taken this woman's handbag, and you chased him down and taken him to the until the cops
me.
got stuck in there.
I was on the ground holding onto his leg, and he was kicking me. I was going, "What am I doing?"
Yeah. Okay. This is going to spin you out because the other day it may be your appearance. We do a segment on this show. It's called "Oh, That's Interesting," and basically all it is, if you've seen a celebrity doing something completely normal, you just got to give us a call. So it could be Richard Wilkins down at the local Woolies buying some groceries.
We saw Richard Wilkins this morning, didn't we? There you go. I saw Richard Wilkins this morning. He was standing there in a room. He was
Well, you've won gold class tickets.
Thank you.
To go and see your own movie. How's this? We got a call the other day. Someone saw a celebrity doing something completely normal.
I saw Hugo Weaving in Paddington. He came into a shop I worked at, and I followed him around because he looked homeless, and I thought he was going to steal something.
That's great.
This lady was following you around going, oh, my God, this guy's going to steal something from the store.
Because I look homeless. I live in Paddington. My home is in Paddington.
That is where I grew up. Hugo, Toni Collette. Can I just say, Toni Collette, for me, is the greatest crier in the world.
Yeah, she's fab. She's great in this film.
Oh, she's man, when she cries, film. I cry. Yeah. What do you think of when you cry in a movie, Hugo? Because you've had to cry a few
depends.
Times.
Yeah, I don't try to think consciously about stuff. You're just trying to be where the character's at.
Because you can
whatever the character's thinking, you're just trying to be there.
Yeah.
They're usually awful stories and awful things, so there's a reason why anyone cries, and you just got to try and be in contact with that person.
Because you can cry. You well up very well.
Yeah. Actually, I'm starting to now.
Sarah, I want to jump onto something you mentioned the other day. I haven't been able to stop thinking about it. Nominated for 14 Academy Awards.
La La Land. Yes.
You didn't like it.
No, I thought it was overrated. I mean, you think of the great musicals over the years, and that is not one of
Can
them.
Can I just say on that topic, I want to say thank you and well done on having the bravery to come out and say, I didn't like that movie.
Well, she's not the only one. There's been
quite
a few people.
You know what? There's so many people that love a movie and everybody just says they love it because everyone else is saying they love it and they don't actually put their hand up and say, you know what? I reckon it was crap. Samuel Jackson's come out to support you.
Oh.
He walked out of the movie 20 minutes in.
I've gone to
see a lot of the movies that are up for the gongs with the Oscars, which is next Monday, and he said this was the worst. I was gone 20 minutes in.
See, musicals are tough.
The way you talk about Lion fits, yes, which actually is Lion up for Best Picture. I'm not sure, but the way they've been competing in many of these awards shows, yep, those two films, the way you speak about Lion and how it moved you, I could never compare with La La Land,
okay,
which has won all these awards. To me, they would just be have you so seen far Lion? Apart. No, but that's what I'm saying. The passion with which Fitzy sells
Lion,
it.
Lion will change your life. That is a moving movie. Yeah. Even Hacksaw Ridge, to watch that story,
yep,
that's unbelievable.
But
well,
I mean, you tipped me into one and I went along to see it and I walked out. Birdman.
Well,
mate, Birdman was created for the artist in the Hollywood movie industry.
Yeah, but that's why I liked it, because it was different.
They did something different for the people within the industry. That was not a Hollywood film written and produced for the general public.
Well, it made a lot of money.
Film. Yes,
so the public went and watched it.
No, the public spoke about it enough to get people to go, like myself, to pay for it, and walked out disappointed. I've spoken.
Well, no, that's...
The other one that's a bit of a stinker always, I think, is Grease. And I know you guys get really angry at me, and I'm sticking with musicals. I think Grease is the most overrated film.
Grease 2
is awesome.
You've absolutely discredited yourself in not just the movie space, but the musical specifically.
Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah. No one compares.
Yourself a rotten tomato.
Can I say this one? The Revenant. Good film.
What are you talking about?
Good film. Great film. No. Not sure about that. Good film.
An amazing film.
Too slow, man.
Oh, man.
Too slow.
Okay, well, I turned off The Revenant the other
day. Did you?
Because it was too loud.
Because what?
Too loud.
Too many loud noises.
13, 24, 10 if you want to dub in a movie everyone loves but you hate it.
Didn't know my grandpa walked into the studio.
Oh, mate, Dallas Buyers Club. Is that what it was called?
Yep. Oh, that was great.
See you later, mate.
Mate, the other one as
well. Forget about
it. Ryan Gosling's best movie ever, Drive. An amazing movie.
Nah.
It's brutal.
Nah.
That is...
He has a go at me because I said I hated it. Because someone said, come and see this movie. It's like Fast and the Furious. And I went, oh, yeah? What's called Drive. I
Have
can
you
see the link.
Ever seen a Fast and the Furious?
Nah, but
so
I've seen the promos.
So why did you go and see it?
Because I knew what it would be like. I've got a rough idea.
What's Fast and the Furious like?
Fast cars, guns, chasing, all of that. And Drive was just slow and like...
Well, it was slow.
Slow,
it
man.
It was too slow.
You struggle to use your brain.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Great film.
Nah.
Oh.
First one turned
Alison
off.
And Borkham Hills. You agree with Sarah. What one don't you agree with, Alison?
Oh, no. Grease 2 is fantastic.
Give me a break, Alison.
Alison and Sarah.
I love it. I have this soundtrack and I dance around in my kitchen singing Cool Rider, climbing the ladder.
Yep.
It was Michelle Pfeiffer. Who was the guy in it?
He didn't really go on to do other things.
Funny that.
No.
Yeah, Maxwell, somebody.
That was like Jason Bateman did Teen Wolf 2 and just absolutely buried
it. See, Teen Wolf now, that was a good film growing up.
That was
Wasn't
a great
it?
Movie.
Great film.
I watched Titanic the other day just because it was on Foxtel. Got halfway
Don't you
through,
dare.
And I used
Don't
to love
you
it
dare.
When it first came out. Oh, so boring, man. Oh. You take 3 hours to sink that thing.
Yeah, that. I mean,
it's going down. Just pull the plug.
What are you suggesting? They should have opened with the sinking scene.
Well, they're all
guys,
so dumb.
I
they
know
hit
how
iceberg.
This is going to end.
Oh, well, what is your favourite movie of all time, then, sir?
I don't know. Now I shouldn't have made so many comments.
Yeah,
oh, you'd be like a Love Actually or something.
No, that was pretty rubbish.
Dumb and Dumber?
Who are
Dumb
you?
Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber was one of the greatest films of all time.
Oh, that, no, well, do you know what?
Dumb
that
and
just sums you up.
You got a bit of happy birthday music, Jay. Can you find that for me? I want to celebrate a man called Doug Cunningham. He lives in Newcastle. And I want to say happy 100th birthday to Doug.
Oh, so that's a...
What a trooper, mate.
Does the Queen still send out a few letters?
Yep. And you get it for your anniversary too, if you've been married for 50 years. My grandmother's got quite a few notes from the Queen, but it's more just protocol on what she actually does. It's just the official stuff that comes through. Nothing personal.
Like what? What does your grandmother work for the Queen?
No, it's just like happy anniversary, 50 years, and then I don't know what she got another one for. It's like when you hit 100 and you just get one in the post. It's not actually.
Heard
you
got new dentures. Congrats.
Yeah. Hey, Norma, how's your hip? Hope the arthritis is going well. Love, Queen.
Here's some prune juice.
Yeah.
Do you have to register for that?
I don't think so.
How does she just keep a track of everybody?
Yeah.
Through the council and the government. And
that's your lying now.
Paperwork, documentation.
No.
official. That's ancestry.com. Incestry.com.
It's a pretty boring job, isn't it? Guys, finally got a job with the Royals, working at Buckingham Palace. What are you doing? I reply to everyone who writes to the Queen.
I'm an
insert
admin.
Insert name here.
Yeah, I remember Georgie, who sings for us on a Friday. She wrote to the Queen inviting... No, she wrote to Will and Kate and invited them to the wedding. To her wedding. Mm. And they wrote back, thanks very much, but we're busy. It's good of them to get back to her.
Probably would have been good to have them there to make that wedding a bit more interesting.
I know. Mate, you weren't the one stuck in the worst seat in the house.
Excuse me. You sat next to me, and every time you bring it up, you say, oh, terrible
seat. She deliberately put me in the worst spot so I couldn't heckle when she was up there. Nasty, nasty thing.
It's just good planning.
Anyway, this guy, Doug Cunningham, he's a World War II veteran. He's a superstar, mate. He's officially, he was a British Army officer. And he tells a story. That when he was at war, they said, what are you going to do when the war ends? And one bloke said, I'm going to get married, and I'm going to have 10 children. Another one wanted to go to university, and they all had different things that they wanted to do. And then he said, in response to that, he said, you know what? I want to live till I'm 100. And at my party, I want 100 girls. What do you know? Oh. Doug's turned 100. He's told a lady down at the local checkout at the supermarket the same story. She's gone and rounded up 100 local women, and Doug's turned 100 with 100 girls.
And they've all come out of a cake.
Life complete for Doug Cunningham.
Wow. This is Fitzy and Whipper.